Hey, this is JD of JD's Man Cave, coming at you again tonight on a big old Saturday night. We want to thank y'all for tuning in. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride.
Hey, 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 what's going on, y'all? This is JD of JD's Man Cave, and we here again in Houston, Texas, baby. 7 o'clock, you know, that's our regular time. That we're going to show up and give y'all a little bit of information for the week. And we have had a glorious week. And I got my co-host here with me, Big Red Joe.
How y'all doing out there?
Yes, sir. We here again. We got some topics that we want to talk about. We're going to start off tonight with a topic that we kind of ended with last week that we kind of ran out of time on. And, you know, it's a very interesting topic that's near and dear to my heart. And probably near and dear to some of you fellas out there in TV land.
Oh, yeah.
Or in Facebook land or out there on the internet. That is very, very pertinent in a black man's life. Because we have so many families that end up, you know, broken homes and separated parents, you know, that they decided to have kids, but decided that it wasn't good for them to be together for the sake of the child only. You know, there are so many different aspects that come up to cause a single parent home in our black community. You know, sometimes it's incarceration, sometimes it's, you know, it's just numerous things that happen in our families and in our community. And the big one that we're going to talk about, and we started talking about it last week, was child support. Child support is just what it is. Child support. You made them, you got to help take care of them, of course. But, you know, so many men nowadays, Reggie, think that child support is set up to destroy them.
Yeah.
And there's some of them who feel like they shouldn't have to pay child support.
Yeah, because they're not with the mother.
Because you're not with the mother no more. Yeah. But that ain't got nothing to do with you being with the mother.
No.
But, I wish that there was a system that didn't have to force you to take care of your child. Mm-hmm. But I understand why it's in place.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like I understand why there's a speed limit on the freeway at 65 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Because if it wasn't, you'd have some idiots out there coming up on the freeway doing 105 because they got a car there to do 105.
You still have those out there.
Mine's
do 160, but I can't even tell you if I can reach that.
Tell you something. I got a motorcycle that I can get to 120 so fast on, but I'm not doing it. Yeah, but I'm just, you know, so there are certain guidelines and rules that have to be, you know, unfortunately have to be put in place to make brothers responsible in life. That's all I can say. Because if you have sat there and made a child with a young lady and created a family, and then you decide that you don't want to be there anymore, you got to pay the cost for your freedom. Because you actually latched up, linked up, and made a permanent life. And for 18 years, at least, that life has to be taken care of and nurtured. So why do you think that because you decided you didn't want to be with the woman no more after you made the child, of course, that you should be off the hook?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't work like that.
You might have a good reason for not wanting to be with the woman, but the child in that's
coming. Exactly. I was about to say, you may have a damn good reason for not being with him. Because I know some that ain't going to let you stay.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You thought you was gonna stay, but she ain't gonna let you stay. She had other plans. But the thing is, you are still gonna have to contribute to the raising of that child that you saw fit to bring into this world. I tell brothers all the time, a pack of rubbers ain't for $3.
Yeah.
And you can stop at any corner store and get some before you go over there to the house.
Yeah.
But if you decide not to invest that $3, that $3 can turn into 18 years worth of papers.
Oh, yeah.
And let me tell you something, that child support is worth the running sum.
Yeah.
You think running sum don't want their money?
Oh.
Brother Center got special trucks that come out there and repossess their stuff.
Yeah, but see, but unlike Brother Center, you know what I'm saying, you can move and
right,
numb and all that.
Yeah, it don't work. Real, it don't work with that kind of general, bro.
Can't do it with child support. Not this day and age.
Yeah, man, all you got to do is get a job.
Yeah.
And your social security number pop up one time.
And
ding!
And it didn't used to be like that. I mean, you could just move and just, you know, never be seen again.
Right.
Go get a job somewhere in another state. But no. Hey, they switched it around.
As soon as that social security number pop up on that job, ding! They got you, baby.
And I don't let they also involve the IRS. So that's one agency you don't even want in your business.
At all.
You know what I'm saying?
And let me tell you another thing that they started doing when you have delinquent child support, you can't get your license renewed.
Yeah.
You can't. I mean, hey, let me tell you something. Being a barber, I saw that firsthand. Some of them guys that was way behind me, they couldn't even renew a barber's license. So how are you supposed to make a livelihood to pay your child support if you cannot renew your barber? I was like, man, that is a total catch-22 right there. But that's the same way it is with if you're a delinquent on child support, they lock you up and put you in jail.
Yeah.
How are you going to pay child support from jail? So, I mean, it's all just a kick because all it does is put you in there and somehow miraculously you come up with the money.
Yeah.
Miraculously.
Witness that also.
Hey, man, you come up with the money. And they let you out, but by that time, you're so far behind, you owe everybody. You got to pay the money back that you paid, and then you end up being behind again, man. So it's just a vicious cycle. But the thing about it is, like I said, and like you said, Rex, the child didn't ask to come here. So
and know who you're messing with, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You got to know who you're dealing with anyway, you know what I mean? You just can't go around here having kids with this woman and that woman and think that everything's all good.
You pray to Johnny Appleseed if you want to.
Hey.
Pray to Johnny Appleseed and drop your seed here and drop your seed there. But them seeds don't grow in the apple tree. They grow in the people. Yeah. And them people got to be paid for. Them kids need shoes. They need clothes. First, they're going to need them diapers. And let me tell you something. I was looking at the price. I was in Target today.
Yeah.
And I passed by the diapers. And brother, let me tell you something. I was like, "Ooh, I'm glad I ain't got no kids right now."
Sorry, man.
Them Pampers high as all that dough, bro. Hey, man, look here. You got to work overtime, undertime, and some more time to pay for some of the stuff these kids need nowadays. And let me tell you something. I knew when I first my son first showed up. And let me tell you something, I was already paying for his diapers, his daycare, and all that, you know. Back then, I don't know what it is now, my son is 27 years old, but back then, at his age, as a newborn, daycare was like $125 a week for him. I laughed and joked a lot of times, it was like $500 a month for daycare.
Yeah.
I was like, it'd be cheaper for me to go get a one-bedroom apartment and put him in there. And let somebody stay there and watch him during the day than it was to pay for him to go to daycare.
Yeah.
Back then, because a one-bedroom apartment back then was like $300.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? $325.
Yeah.
I could have saved myself $175 by just paying somebody rent. Say, man, look, you just stay here and I'm going to bring my baby by here in the morning.
Yeah.
But, you know, we didn't think like that because my wife wanted back then, she's my ex now, but back then, she wanted to make sure that the baby was at the daycare with other kids and certified. Isn't I was like, look here, man. All that certified costs. But, hey, I was paying for that. Brand new car, new house, everything. Working 80 hours a week at a job. You was there with me, so you know what I'm talking about. We used to get our checks, and they look like an income tax check. But we still was almost paycheck to paycheck. We had so many bills and so much we was doing to take care of. And man, look here. Let me tell you something. Ain't nothing like when that first light bill come in your name, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, all the fun is over with.
It's over.
Yeah, it's over with.
Life begins.
Yeah, life begins. All the kicking it and just Jimmy jacking and having fun around it, over with, baby.
I used to wonder, why did I even jump into that? I could just stay around with my grandparents.
Yeah, man, look at me and my sisters laugh and joke. Now we say, man, remember we used to sit around and say, man, I can't wait till I get grown. I'm like, what the hell was we thinking about? Back then, I could walk in the refrigerator and open it up. There's always something in there. I flip a light switch, it came on. I ain't even know it was a bill associated with that flipping and that opening that refrigerator. I just knew it was there. But hey, man, look, life comes at your fans. Baby. Yeah. The best thing you can do is be prepared. That's all I can tell you. But yeah, they talk about child support, if I think it's a necessary evil. Yeah. You know, it's just like to me, I said, speed limits, the penitentiaries. Because let me tell you something, I've been in the penitentiary and I sat next to some guys that I'm glad they still in there. But you know what I'm saying?
They're living in a lawless community anyway.
Right, exactly.
They're just doing what they want to do.
Exactly. You know we
they're going to be down with everything.
Yeah, we talk about the laws, but we need the laws. Yeah. You know, my thing is we need to get out and vote and make sure that the laws are justifiable and that they're at least on a level playing field. You know, because we don't want laws that would only target one skin color as opposed to the other. But you wanted to talk about child support. I'll let you go ahead and talk about it.
Well, I was on social media one day and a relative of mine was speaking on how child support was used to keep the black man down. And, you know, it started in 1975, and I was like, you know, he was partially right. You know, officially, as far as everything that had to do with child support, a lot was happened in 1975.
Right.
But it happened way in the early 1900s. Well, you know, it didn't have anything to do with black people. It had to do with white men leaving these white women with kids and going off and starting a new family and not supporting the white kids that they left behind.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that we as black men weren't doing that back then. I wasn't there. I'm pretty sure we were. I'm pretty sure everybody was.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they were.
But there's always more whites in this country than there is black. So I don't think they specifically made this a law to attack the black man because they never wanted us in the home anyway.
Exactly.
You know, so just to let you know that it started in the 1900s, early 1900s, and then it got established in the 1950s, where you know you only had to pay child support up until the child was 16 years old. I guess they couldn't child get out of work.
Right, that was more, you know, it's just like every year you've seen, you know, the age limit of adulthood back then was 16, because the average lifespan was only like 30 something years old.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But as the lifespans got longer, then they made legal age up to 18, you know, so you can go in the military and all of that. Then you see that they made drinking the age for cigarettes up to 18. Then they made the legal drinking age is 21.
Yeah.
You know, so it always raises because of the sign of the time. Yeah. And that has to do with life expectancy.
Yeah.
Of Americans, and right now, you know, with a good health plan and going to the doctor regularly, you easily live to 70, 75 years old. Now, 75 years old back in the day, you was a modern miracle.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you lived to be 70 and 75 back in the day, man. Look at you was a dinosaur to them. Yeah. That people came to your house just to see you. Yeah, I just want to see what a 70-year-old look like.
Right.
Yeah, because most people die from something early. You know what I'm saying? Whether it be malaria, polio, and what it's called?
We didn't know a lot about medicine back then.
Right, medicine, exactly. You know, it was
things that, you know, medical science is different now. You know,
exactly.
You figured out how, I mean, just think about it. Some things are by accident, but some things are on purpose. They just work towards helping someone live longer.
Right, exactly.
You know, feel
exactly.
Like right.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So that's why those ages you'll see early, you know, earlier years that they were lower, now they pushed up because, you know, now you got to pay for their child until they're 18 or some. If they go to college, then you got to continue to pay even while they're in college.
Well, I don't know if that's true because, like I said, I've experienced a lot.
Yeah,
you know, my wife, she had a son, and when he turned 18, it just cut off. He went straight to college. The judge wouldn't continue it up.
Oh, okay.
He was 20. Now, I'm not saying it's not true for someone else. It may.
Yeah, I thought it was. Is that true, producer? that if the child goes to college, they got to keep continuing paying child support. They're supposed to keep.
I just know personally from my experience that it didn't happen.
They have to keep paying.
Right.
But some of them just don't because it ain't as
enforced as much. Okay.
Because my daughter is in college, but they don't enforce child support. But it keeps those down to the end of it, though.
Yeah, it's a crew.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, like I said, from that is that when you turn 18, it stops.
Okay.
And they went to court.
Right.
And the judge, he stopped it at 18. He didn't know, even though he was in college. Now, he continued to help his son while he was in college to a certain extent. But, you know,
officer, that's only fair, though. Let me tell you something, man. I don't understand parents who have kids who strive to do it right and are go-getters, as I call them, or self-motivated children, and you don't encourage them and help them in their endeavors. I don't understand that parent right there because you got so many kids who don't want to do anything, ain't trying to do nothing, and we'll tend to reward them rather than the child that's trying to do something and trying to better their education. You back up off of them. That is crazy.
I wish I could explain that myself. You know,
there is no explanation for it. I've seen it time and time again. I still can't explain it at my age right now. I don't understand. But like I said, I don't see why we tend to do that. But that starts even at an early age when you buying kids Jordans and they making D's and F's at school.
Yeah.
You rewarding foolishness. You know that, and when you reward foolishness, you are inviting it into this world. It will stick and stay. If I ain't having no consequences, I do whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A person without consequences is dangerous, bro.
Yeah.
A child without consequences is even more dangerous. Yes, ma'am.
Bernard Lane says, Texas don't play. He also says the attorney of Texas will come for you. And women know that.
Yeah.
The attorney general. That's
right. Let me tell you something. And that's probably where your cousin was coming from when he was talking about it was set up for the black man, you know. And that's true. Black women know that the attorney general is their own personal guard, dog.
Yeah.
It's like having a pit bull that you know is vicious, that you keep him in a cage, but let somebody come by your house you don't like, you, hey, get him. And that's the way they do their baby dads. So I tell people all the time, one of the worst things you can ever have in your life is a baby mama. See, you can have an ex, but a baby mama, that's a vicious creature, man.
Believe me, I've escaped that, and I'm glad that's never happened to me. I've never just had a baby with a woman, and we just broke up.
Right.
You know, so, I could see it, that if that woman did have a child for me,
I'd
say, man, I'd be in a world of trouble.
Let me tell you something. But you haven't seen it. You haven't experience it yourself, but I'm sure you've seen a lot of your partner.
Oh, I've seen it, you know.
Look at him. I done seen brothers ready to kill themselves behind the stuff the woman do to him and how she manipulate him. And every time you go over there, she got something new on and your child is not being taken care of the way you think it. And I tell brothers, hey, man, look, once you left, you left. You gave up a lot of your, what do they call it, authoritative rights.
Yeah.
You ain't got no say so into how, because they're gonna give the a woman got to be real terrible for her not to be the custodial parent.
Yeah.
You know, she got to be basically a dope head, a crackhead, an alcoholic, and a Satan worshiper or something. She got, and I'm talking about all three got to be there. You can't be one or the other because the judge it takes so much for a judge to tear a child away from his mother and give him to the father. I don't care if the father is a millionaire.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Look at Shaq. And Shaq, multi-millionaire. And his wife had all the kids. And he had to pay all the child support when he left. You see what I'm saying? And that was played out on TV in front of everybody.
Oh, yeah.
So it's almost impossible. But when you leave, brother, and go away, you cannot dictate what that woman does with that money that they give a lot of her child support. You know, I mean, brother, you talking about, man, she going to get her nails done and her hair fixed. But hey, bro. But she fed that baby last week. You weren't nowhere around.
Yeah, well, this is the way I feel about that. You know, first of all, you're worried about the wrong thing.
Exactly. There you know go. That's the first. That's the
how
first.
Do you know that your check actually went on the nails? It could have been her check that went on the nails.
Exactly.
And, she can't say, hey, man, I spent this much money, my money on the child. And, you know, you'll never know none of that. You'll drive yourself crazy worrying about her looking good. Now, if your kid's just raggedy,
hey, man.
You know what I'm saying? I understand you getting upset, but if your kid's been well taken care of, why are you worried about just because you know your check came that week and then you see that she got a hand and nails done and you assume that that's how she got it done. And she could have used it for that, but you know, she also used her money to pay the light bill.
Car insurance that she had to drive your baby back and forth to school and all. You know, guys just don't, man, let me tell you something. Men don't really think about the concept of what it takes to raise a child. You see what I'm saying? All of the it's more than just, putting food on the table. And, I mean, that baby need insurance. That baby need, you know, shoes. Because I know when I was a kid, I ran through shoes. Like, you know what I'm saying? I needed a new pair of shoes every other month almost. Playing football, then I'm out there in the street, running them over on the curbs, tearing outside. Oh, man, I'm hook sliding on the concrete and everything.
Those jeans, what they call it?
Tough skins. Tough skin. They come from Sears and Roebuck.
Yeah.
Hey, brother, let me tell you something. My mother kept me in them because I would tear up anything else. And I told Papa them a few times. Because, I was hook sliding on the curb, playing football, basketball, kickball, whatever ball I could find. And I ain't going in there and change no clothes. My mom, you know, I was probably about 11 or 12. When I decided I didn't want to get no whooping no more for playing in my school clothes. Because, back then, school clothes was just clothes to me. I didn't worry about school clothes. But, hey, man, look at it. My mama got
the kids don't think like
my clothes got to get more expensive.
Yeah.
My mama's whooping got to get being more often. You know, so I was like, I ain't catching no more whooping for them clothes. So when I get home, I would throw me a pair of shorts or some old ragged or something and head out that door. T-shirt might have the collar toe off of it, whatever. But that's what I wore outside to play football. And I went out there in my new clothes.
Back then, we weren't all about how good we looked in clothes. And
right.
Have fun. Now the kids nowadays, they want to look good while they're having fun.
Exactly.
And I tell my kids all the time, don't be out there, you know, tearing up nice clothes. You know, take them out, put on something, you know,
exactly.
Go out there and play rough and, you know, do what you do. But, you know, we can't just keep afford to buy you clothes after clothes just because you tore them up. You know, it don't work that way.
As you already know, as kids, clothes are just clothes.
Yeah.
We ain't really worried about them. We didn't even see the price tag. We don't even look at that. We just, Mama, I want this. Or Dad, I want this. You know, but we did. We would look. So, but hey, man, look here. It costs a lot for, I know it's well over, you know, $100,000, hundreds of thousands of dollars to take care of a child from the age of birth to, you know, to even graduate from high school.
I think it's more than that.
I think it's probably
about $500,000. You think that it's that much, but you know what I'm saying? Average, it's about $500,000 from a child from birth all the way to the 18 years old.
Especially if you're raising kids outside. Yeah, the way we ate gross, I eat like, I know, let me tell you something. I was eating like a grown man when I was about 11, 12 years old. So I know, you know, to raise a child our size, you got to have some bread. You know, it may not, like you say, it may not look like it, but you keep accruing that money and adding it up. And man, look at my mom and them had receipts to get that money back. Look at, I wish I had the money to give it back to them, but I ain't got that kind of bread. But yeah, it you know, child support is a necessary evil. I'm just to say it like that because let's just be honest. Men, we tend to run from responsibility and we have a out of sight, out of mind type mentality a lot of time. And if you ain't living with that woman and can't have that woman no more, let's just be honest. We'll get to a spiteful situation where, hell, if I can't see you and I can't be with you, then let whoever you seeing take care of the baby. But that whoever you seeing, then help her make that baby. You see what I'm saying? That's your responsibility you left over there. And now you need to get your But since you ain't gonna get your butt back over there and take care of the responsibility, send your money over there. So she can do all the business and take care of your responsibility. But you know, men, we have, hey man, let me tell you something. We mature at a late age, a lot of times. You know, our maturity level, some of us never reach it.
You know, you say that it's hard for, you know, a judge to, you know, just give the child to the man.
Right.
I witnessed that firsthand. Why I knew a cat, he was paying child support, he was crying about it all the time, he was doing extra stuff, and you know, he the woman was with someone else, and they had kids, and they daddy was paying child support like he was paying child support, so he also had to take care of her kids and his kids, it was taken away from what he was doing for his kids because he had to do for all the kids.
Right.
And it was just, you know, and he even had his kids staying with him because his wife wasn't taking care of them the way he felt they should, but he still had the issue out there, child support. Him. He used to cry to me every morning about it. I was like, man, all you can do is just do it, man. I mean, he went to the point to get his kids a lawyer. So not only is he paying for a lawyer for himself, he's paying a lawyer for his kids. She still ended up getting custody. Every time he would try to get custody, she would do something to make it difficult for him to get custody. You know,
right,
so you know,
right,
you
right.
just send him back over to the media. I got him, you know. So you want him, you're going to have to pay to keep him.
Exactly.
That's what he ended up having to do. I said, man, you're going to stop crying about it. Either just going to pay to keep him, or you just going to let it go, man. Just let it be the way it is. I mean, there's just nothing you can do about it. You got your kids with you, right? That's what you really want. You got him. Just keep sending her money.
Exactly.
And you know what I mean? I hate the sound, you know. I didn't have no encouraging words for him. You know?
But Reggie, you let me tell you something. You did the best thing you could do for him. You gave him the truth.
Yeah.
See, and I tell people all the time, the best thing you can do for anybody is give them the truth and let them do what they want to. You know what I'm saying? You can't. You know, it's better that you, hey man, yeah, I think you ought to do. And you already know that this man gonna fail each time. So
I hate to see him coming.
Hey man, because you knew it was a story coming.
It was a story coming.
Yeah, you know it was. He had the violin on his chin and everything while he was talking, whining and crying. And yeah, hey man, look here, bro.
He came with his own theme.
Hey man, look here, bro. You signed. Like I always tell my wife when something happened in our relationship, and I'm like, okay, I'll be like, but I signed up for this.
Yeah.
And you signed up for that. You decided to have children with that woman, that particular woman. Believe me, she didn't just get like that. She was like that while y'all were dating. Before y'all had kids, she was like that. She had all them same attributes that she used against you now.
Yeah.
And you thought it was cute back then. It ain't so cute no more. Nah, you see what I'm saying?
It's hitting his pockets.
Hey, man, look at it. Matter of fact, he stopped wearing pants with pockets.
Not only that, why get with a woman that have kids and they fall not take care of them?
Right.
His biggest is when the deadbeat father would come and bring nice gifts for his kids. His kids are sitting up looking at their kids getting all these gifts that they probably could get, but he spread it out amongst all the kids.
That was
really hurting them. I fell for him. I was like, man, I don't know what to do about that. You know, either you shouldn't even marry this woman that's not doing. Now you take care of his responsibilities. She's not even working. The one wasn't even working either.
Oh, so my God.
You take care of all of them. But that's what you signed up for.
Hey, man, let me tell you something.
It sounds good, though, in the beginning.
Yeah, but let me tell you what that situation was. He needed to go in his prayer closet to cry every night to God just answer his prayers. That's all I can say. I said, bro, you need to get your prayer closet in that house. Yeah. And being there every night, and when you come out there, get through crying, you ought to be dressed out like you've been in the swimming pool, man. Let me tell you something. That was the only because the thing was that woman who wasn't working. Let's say that she had time to be down at the Attorney General's office every day, making sure that man who was working that had kids with her, she wasn't doing her part.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? That's where the first problem was. She wasn't doing her part. See, and he was doing too damn much. That's all I can say.
Well, hey, man,
he was doing too damn much.
The person I feel sorry for was his kids. Because I can imagine as a kid, you know, when you got stepbrothers and sisters and you watching them getting all these elaborate gifts that you wish you can get, that you want, but you can't get them because your dad is using the money he's spending on you to spend on all y'all.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm pretty sure it was a lot of hatred going on in this household.
Oh, man, let me tell you something. It might have been a couple of stabbings in this bottle. I'd be like, hey, I don't know what happened. He fell. He was running with a knife. I don't know. Hey, I ain't got that boot knife.
I felt he was doing the right thing as a man.
Oh, he was. Forward,
but, you know.
But let me tell you something. Sometimes, even in doing the right thing, you need the right kind of help, too.
Yeah.
See, like I said, that woman who was not working, you just said she wasn't working.
She wasn't working.
Every morning, I'd have been dropping her off at the attorney general's office before I went to work. I'll be back to pick you up after you get something taken care of today. If you don't get that taken care of, I'm not coming back to pick you up. You catch the bus. Yeah, that's just, man, look here. Sometimes you got to put your foot down, brother.
Yeah.
You can, let me tell you something. I'm only going to take so much pain before I holler. And when I holler, I'm going to holler loud.
Yeah, we holler, but you only holler to me.
No, but he hollered to the wrong person.
You know, at first I was like, you know, I listened to it, but every day he come to work, I was like, oh, here we go again. I can see another story.
Right.
I don't even know what to tell you, brother. You know what I'm saying? You get a real tough situation.
Yeah, he's the toughest one.
I mean, when I say crying, I mean tears in his eyes. It wasn't like I'm just saying he was just making noise.
Really?
He had actually tears in his eyes.
Yes, I'd have been crying too. Man, I had a handkerchief. I had one in my pocket, one in my back pocket, because I got to cry. I'd have been snotting, blowing snot crying. I'm crying so hard. Man, that is a killer right there you just described. But the thing about it is, like I said, he had another outlet, but he would have had to been, and like you said, I would not have even signed up for that duty if she was not, before we got married, you would have to get the child support straight where it was enforced, where he was paying before I even took on that, you know. But you know, so many times we want what we want. We don't do it in God's time, and it's not when it's supposed to. And, you know, the Bible tells you when God is in something, he adds no sorrow. You see what I'm saying? If he was supposed to be with that woman and be in that family, that child support would have been taken care of. You see what I'm saying? He would have got that straight before he, you know, he did that in his time. He didn't do that in God's time. You see what I'm saying? So you got to understand when something ain't right. And you know, sometimes we so hard-headed, we do what we want to do instead of what we need to do. You know, and that's what sounded like happened to him. And you see, hey, man, let me tell you something. And what they say, ain't no sense like bought sense.
Yeah,
when you pay for something and you pay it for a sense,
yeah,
you learn it fast, brother, and you keep it.
I always wonder what happened to that cat. You know, what did he end up doing?
He ain't seen it on obituary page. But he killed himself.
Well, I lost touch with him years ago.
He lost touch with himself years ago, too.
I'm just glad I don't hear no more crying. You know?
Right. Yeah, because like I said, if that had been me, you still here crying. Right now, I'd be crying to this day. Even if it stopped, I'm still crying. If they grown and the kids grown, I'm still crying about all the money I spent.
Yeah,
that man, look at that. You talk about, I tell people all the time, you get in situations that you can't. Financial stress is one of the quickest ways to get a marriage over.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when y'all both money, you know, you down to your last few and last two, yeah, it get a little hectic around the house, man.
It's the quickest way for me to want to leave.
Yeah, it get a little hectic around the house. So you can't put that kind of pressure on a man and expect him just to stay there, and you ain't trying to give him no kind of assistance, no kind of help. Like I said, her being a grown woman, she should have been down there at the attorney general's office and sicked her watchdog on whoever it was that she had them kids with.
Why should she, though? She had somebody that was doing what he wasn't doing anyway. So,
I said if she was a real grown woman, you heard me put that disclaimer in front. Yeah. He married a little girl who was just looking for some help. And she got her some help. Hey, man. Hey, what that song say? If you're looking for a fool, here I am. There he was.
Yeah,
if you're looking for a fool, here I am. Yeah, I mean, you ain't got to look no further. That was the lyrics of the song tell you that. I ain't going to be no fool. I might be crazy about you, but I ain't going to be no damn fool. If we going to work together and try to get some, because the thing is, No matter how hard he worked, he'll never have nothing to show for.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Living in a situation like that. But anyway, we got away from child support. But it's just, man, let me tell you something. Child support is a necessary evil. That's just all it is to me.
If you have a kid out there,
take care.
Just take care of him. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, at this day and age, you just can't do it, you know, without the system. Go through the system so you can show and prove that you'll take care of your child.
And
they will use that against you.
Let me explain something to you. And it's funny that you bring that up, because I remember when me and my ex-wife first separated from one another.
Yeah.
My son was 2 years old when we separated. But I had been gone probably a month and a half, 2 months, I think, almost. And she got a check, and she called me. She's like, what's this for? I said, well, that's your child support. She said, I didn't file no child support. I said, no, I went down there and filed it myself. I said, no, you never get me with that one.
Yeah.
I said, because I had seen, you know, let me tell you something. I had seen too many of my partners get caught up with that. You know, they leave the house, and the child end up going from 2 months. Next thing you know, that baby's 7 years old.
Yeah.
And then the lady go down there and file child support. Now you owe all that back money. From 2 months to seven, man, do you know how much that would have been?
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, no, I'm not playing that game right there.
You know, that's why I say you got to know who you're dealing with. You know what I'm saying? You couldn't take care of this child all this time.
Exactly.
So, for whatever reason she had to go down there and file, she felt she had to file, whether it's to get back at
you. I knew what I was dealing with, because that's why she was going to be my ex. So, I knew it the best thing for me to do to keep me straight and her straight was go down there and tell the people, I'm with money, I make an hour. And y'all go on and set up my child support off of this right here, because I'm gonna be getting a raise later on. I need you to bank it off of this right here. I don't need to worry about my raise.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna do it now.
Yeah.
And got that out the way, and that was money.
You was smart, man. A lot of men things like that. I mean, I like I said, I know firsthand.
Because I knew I was working in a company that was gonna raise. You know, I was gonna advance in the company, but I was at a level right then, and I was like, all right, well, let's take child support off of this right here. Instead of you worrying about when I got a raise, you don't need to know that. That ain't your business. You know, your business is making sure that check comes every 2 weeks.
And another thing, fellas, don't think that just because your woman had a child out of wedlock, you know, outside your marriage, that you're not responsible for that child. You're legally... That child's.
Let's talk about that.
So
if
that happened, you need to go get that set right then and there. Go to court. Look, man, this is why we get a divorce.
Right.
You know, if you wait years later when you can take it, they're not just the orphanless child. They're not going to do it. So you're just responsible. It's up to the woman to say, hey, man, well, that's not the child. I'm not trying to get it for that child. Some of them might do it, but. You know, a lot of them, you know, hey, man, that's extra income coming in their pocket.
Let me explain something to you. I don't care if you know it's yours or not. Always get the blood test.
Always.
Hey, man, let me tell you something. I don't know how much it is now, but back then a blood test was $85.
Yeah, I think it's about $200 now.
Okay, back then it was $85.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, if the baby is not yours, you have to worry about the $85. Yeah. But if the baby is yours, they just add the $85 in your payments anyway.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So you ain't losing nothing. So always, even if you got a small hair of an inclination that it might not be your baby, man, look, I need blood. I don't care how mad she get. When you ask for the blood test, don't even look over there at her. Don't even look. Don't turn your head. Don't look. Just talk to that moderator, because they give you a moderator. You sit down and talk to her and say, look here, I need y'all to swab my mouth. We might have a blood check. Get some blood from that baby.
And they're going to offer it anyway.
Yeah, you know exactly. They're going
to
offer
it. It's just up to you whether you want to get it or not, because some brothers turn it down. You know, if you turn it down,
then
you find out years later, then you know, hey, man, it's over with. It's over with, man. Just let it go.
Let me tell you something, bro. I was cutting hair with this brother. You know, like I said, I've been a barber since 1999, 2000. This brother, I hate to talk about people, but this is the God's honest truth. This brother had got with this girl, married her, and they had seven kids. Seven kids. When I tell you seven kids, I'm talking about some stair steps. They was, you know, all of them, by the time me and him were working together, they went down one of them out of elementary school. It was seven of them. All of, I think maybe one was in middle school, sixth or seventh grade. Yeah. And he in the barbershop with me, and he gets mad, right? Talking about, man, I'm finna leave that woman alone. I said, you gonna leave? I said, with all the kids? I said, bro, you ain't going nowhere, man. You crazy. I'm getting out of there, man. I'm tired of it. I don't even think that third one mine. I said, the third one? I said, wait a minute. You say you don't think the third one is yours? But you got four, five, six, and seven?
Yeah.
If the third one ain't yours, you feed them on them, you're gonna start looking like it. What are you talking about? Bro, when I tell you this man tried to leave this woman would come up to the barbershop and beat him up. Because he wouldn't fight her back. But she ain't care about him fighting her back. She whooped him in front of everybody. He would have got him an apartment. She bust out all the windows at his apartment. Hey man, he was like old boy on what was that movie where he had to keep spare tires in the back of his car, two or three of them. What was the name of that? Roadhouse, I think it was.
Oh yeah,
remember
Roadhouse. Yeah,
he
kept,
Because he was always putting his tires on flat.
Yeah,
that's how he was. She was putting his tires on flat every other day, bro.
He should call
the law. Hey man, he called the law. She was never there when the law got there.
Right.
Bro. Let me tell you something. She harassed him until he moved back home. You hear me? He held hostage without being a hostage.
I've never done that.
Hey, bro. He had, man, let me tell you something. That's I don't know, man. Reggie, I was just going to say, either you were going to go back home or you're going to move to Mexico.
Yeah,
one or two. You have to leave. You got to leave the country.
That's when you leave.
No, yeah, you got to leave. Man, let me tell you something.
You always let your people know. Well, yeah, because they're going to tell her
exactly.
Where you're at. You don't know who on your team at all.
Me and this dude right here, I thought he was a gangster. I realized who the gangster was in the family as he tried to leave. She was a real gangster. His gangster never would have matched hers, bro. Never, ever. I said, now that is the gangster. She would come up there, Reggie, and whoop him on sight in front of everybody at the barbershop. And you got to come back in there with your lip busted and cut hair. Boy, hush. I'd have held her in the headlocks if the laws got there.
That's what happened.
That's what had to happen to me. I ain't finna sit out here and take no whooping every day.
I mean, I'm all for
I don't think a man's supposed to hit no woman. I'm not condoning it. Don't get me wrong. But you ain't gonna keep putting your hands on me every day, busting my nose and my lip.
You could be mad at me if you want to. Yeah. But stay in your lane.
Exactly.
I mean, stay in your lane.
That's it. That's all I had. But yeah, that was one of the craziest situations I ever seen in my life. You gonna say I don't even think the third one might. The third one. So if you don't think the third one, why did you lay up there four, five, six, and seven?
Right,
you spoke at 11 when the third one wasn't yours.
Well,
and paid for one and two.
Like I said.
And then
that's why I said what I said.
See, but let me tell you something about a man. Trying to leave a woman like that. First of all, she know ain't nobody else gonna want her with seven kids.
It's always somebody though.
But man, look here, it's gonna be difficult. But let me tell you something. It might be somebody, Rich, but it might not be the some kind of somebody she want.
I got a cousin, she had 10 kids, and it was always somebody willing to step in. I'm not saying they're gonna do the right thing because you know
ain't nobody gonna latch on to and marry her with seven kids. I don't think that's gonna. I mean,
it happens.
Let me tell you something. Never mind. I ain't gonna go there. But I ain't had nothing like that. I ain't never had that.
Deal with all the baby daddy drama. You have about five different baby daddies. You'll sit there and you'll deal with all
that. That's what I'm thinking about more so than anything.
Yeah, so
all the baby daddies.
You probably couldn't deal with it, but it's a cat out there that's loving that and ain't trying to go nowhere.
Well, guess what? He's a better man than me, yeah. I guess.
I wouldn't say he's a better man, but you know, he has lots and lots of patience that I know. That I don't have.
Bro, I'd be a patient before I had that kind of patience. the patient in the hospital fly here, that kind of patient. Period. That's crazy. I just don't understand that. And speaking of that, Reg, we're gonna move on to another subject. We talk about child support. I'm just telling fellas, hey man, look here. Like I say, rubbish costs $3 a box, man. Still to this day.
Get your case,
man. Get your just go off and say go get your own case.
You know you're doing
that. If you just got a deal with your daddy.
And stop telling people the condom broke.
Yeah, we don't want to hear that no more. It's too many. That's a lot.
Get you a new brand.
Huh. Quit using the ones that you got from the
free clinic
because they free for a reason. Yeah, because they're not good quality. Go and spend your little $3. Is when you get that 40 ounce, go and get that 3-pack too. That's all I can tell you. They save you a whole lot of trouble.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's move on to another subject. My next topic I want to talk about, Reggie, is boys to men. Now, what I mean by that is, I'm not talking about the singing group boys, men, although I do like the music. Well, what I'm saying is about men, young men, transitioning into grown men. You know, it's one thing, your age don't make you a man. The number on your driver's license don't make you a man. What you do and how you carry yourself and how you handle your business is what makes you a man. So what I'm getting at is, what age or what period in your life did you finally realize you were no longer just a young man, and you know you could do silly things, and that you had to, as I always say, put your grown man on every day and wear. You know what age was it for you, Les?
Like I said, before we start the show, that it started pretty late for me as far as just doing grown men things. You know, I've always done grown men things growing up because I was just forced in a position.
Right.
As far as growing up as an older brother, being the oldest child,
right.
I had responsibilities for a lot of things that I probably shouldn't have been responsible for, but I took on that.
Right, out of necessity, so, yeah, too.
But, you know, before as me as an adult, it was when my first child was born. And I was 30, right. I was 39 years old, believe it or not. I had my child at a late age.
Right.
That made me stop doing things that, you know, like smoking weed. I mean, everybody that knew me, that grew up with me, know me, that was my thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
I didn't care who I was with, how many kids she had, about who I was going to do my thing.
Right.
I wasn't worried about losing no job, no nothing. And I think if I lose a job, I just get another job. That's the way I was thinking back then.
Right,
I just
right,
wasn't
right.
really. But when I had my first child,
right,
for whatever reason, something just popped in my head. Hey, man, you got to take care of this child.
Yeah.
You know, and
this is a life that you're responsible for.
I can't just go and hang out. You know, because you know I hung out with everybody and was doing this, doing that, and I just started doing things different. You know, didn't nobody make me do it. You know, but something inside me made me do it. You know,
right.
I just stopped smoking weed. You know, I realized, hey, man, I only have, when I was driving trucks, realized that, hey, man, it don't take for me to have an accident for them to test me. Somebody could just hit me.
Right, right,
you know
right.
What I'm
right.
saying? If anything happened, I could get hurt.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The first thing they're going to do is run me down there to take that drug.
Exactly.
So I wanted to make sure that I was covered for her sake. You know?
Right.
So
right.
She could have all the things that she wanted,
right? Exactly.
And especially the things she needed. So for me, like I said, at the age 39 is when I truly became responsible. I ain't gonna say a man, I came responsible for another human life. And I just felt that I had to do things different.
Well, I'm glad you brought that word of responsibility. See, because let me tell you something about being a grown man. Grown men don't run from their responsibility. They gravitate toward it and want to handle it. That's when you know that you're a grown man. You see, because we got some men out there who run still running from responsibility.
Oh yeah.
They still don't want to be accountable for nothing. They run from responsibility. They end up, as my daddy used to say, letting their business handle them instead of them handling their business.
Yeah.
You know, we still have guys, I know at our age, 51 year old guys are still doing that. So to exactly. me, they are not functioning. You know, their birth certificate might say they're grown,
yeah.
but they are not functioning as a grown man. And that's the concept I'm getting at when I say boys to men, because you got some grown boys out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're grown boys. I'm talking about gray-faced grown boys out there. Them the ones I'm talking about. But the thing that happened with me was it happened for me early. And the same concept, you know, like you said, you had your first child when you was 39. I had my first child when I was 23.
Yeah.
So at 23 years old, fresh out of college, I had to come home, get a job immediately. I couldn't even worry about looking for a job with my degree that I had just gotten.
Yeah.
Because even at that point, the degree that I had and getting into the ground floor of my field, I wouldn't have been making enough money to take care of a family anyway.
Yeah.
So I reverted back to exactly what I knew most, and that was driving trucks and moving furniture.
Yeah.
So I got into a company working 80 to 85 hours a week. A week, I didn't say 2 weeks, I said a week. Yeah, 80 hours a week. And I had a new wife, a new mortgage. I was sending my wife to college still because she left college to come home and marry me.
Yeah.
So I had to sit. She had to go to Prairie View instead of Hampton.
Yeah.
And I promised her father that I would make sure that she finished school when I took her away from Hampton.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So I had already taken on that responsibility. Then I had a new son who had to have daycare and diapers and, you know, all this. And I was taking care of it by myself because, like I said, she was still going to school. So she didn't have time to look for a job and go to school because she was going to school full time, you know, a 12-hour day driving to Prairie View and driving back home every day, and just bought a new house out in Katy. So I had to take on responsibilities and become a grown man overnight.
Yeah.
I went from partying with my fraternity brothers in college, playing football on the football team, partying and hanging out with them, to instant grown man statue.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? In a matter of 9 months. One no failure. And I couldn't see no failure.
Couldn't afford to fail.
Couldn't afford, exactly. I couldn't afford to fail. There was no opportunity for failure for me. So that's when I knew that I was a grown man because I handled everything and nothing ever lacked in my household. But I came from a hardworking father who showed me, you know, a hardworking mother too as well. My mom didn't always had a job, a good job. You know what I'm saying? My dad always was a hardworking man. So I saw what the fruits of labor did for a household. So I was not going to be one of those kind of cats that laid around and just thought it was going to fall out the sky. I knew the only way for it to fall out the sky was for me to fall out the bed and get my behind to work.
Yeah.
You know, so I knew I just came from that type of mentality. So I thank God that I was able to at that time transition so quickly.
Yeah.
You know, because my marriage didn't fail because of finances. My marriage failed because all I thought I had to do was provide.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't take care of the rest of the stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and she, I put it like this. I tell people all the time, my first marriage didn't fail because of what she did. It failed because of what we did. You know, I didn't know what being a husband really meant. She didn't know what being a wife really meant. You know what I'm saying? We were young. I was, 22, 23 years old? And she was like 19.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because when we got together, I was like a junior or senior, a fourth-year senior. And I ended up going there 5 years. But I was like a fourth-year senior, and she was a freshman.
Yeah.
So we had a nice little age difference. So she was still a baby, and I was still a baby, in my mentality. But you know that's why my first marriage failed because, you know, I still carry them attributes right now that a man is supposed to provide and bust his butt. And,
yeah.
You know, I tell people one thing about being a grown man: your lazy can't outweigh your hustle. If your lazy outweigh your hustle, you ain't no grown man, dog.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you something. The worst thing I ever wanted to do as a man, because my parents never did that to me, was tell a child, we can't get something you need. Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong, I ain't get what I wanted.
Yeah.
But But everything I needed, I was able to have.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I never went to being hungry. I never went to school without no shoes. I never went to school without, you know, without clothes and stuff like that. And like you said, me being the, I was the oldest and the only boy, two younger sisters, same dynamic you grew up in.
Yeah.
So at that, as those dynamics, you learn to be, have man attributes at an early age. You know, you're not a man, but you have to function as the same type of responsibility and accountability as a grown man would have to when you're 14 and 15 years old. You taking care of your sisters. You making sure ain't nobody bothering them. Can't nobody put their hands on them.
Yeah.
Can't nobody say anything to them. You got to look out for them. And you got to be a big brother, the leader. You know, you got to lead by example and all. You know, you just got to be accountable for everything you do. And my father was one of them fathers who he would give his daughters anything, but his son, if I wanted the same thing my sister got that he gave them, I had to go work for him.
Yeah.
Oh, you can get it soon as their car get washed, soon as them leaves get raked up, their yard get cut, their dogs get fed, and you know, the yard, everything got to be taken care of around that house before I get that $7 or $8 to go to skating rink.
Yeah.
But the thing about that was it taught me a work ethic.
Yeah.
And I learned that if I can cut my grass, I can go down the street with the same lawnmower and get me a dollar and a half worth of gas and cut 3 yards and make me $30, $40 that day.
Yeah.
You know, so I started cutting grass. Then when I cut your grass, I didn't blow grass on your car. So I come down there with my bucket and you pay me $10 more to wash your car right there in your driveway. Oh, I had a scheme, bro. I was hustling early. Let me tell you something. I was trying to get it.
Yeah.
I get my little 5 gallon white bucket, give me some rags and my mama dishwashing liquid. I better not let her see me carrying it out the house. I get her dishwashing liquid and go down that street and wash cars, you know, $5-6 a car. I give me about 6 or 7 cars in, I'd have made me some good money. I'm thinking, you know, by the time a day over to Saturday, I might have me $100. And at 12 or 13 years old, with $100, you got some money, bro.
You got a lot of money.
Yeah, I got a bunch of money. I'm going to spend 7 or 8 of it at school during the whole week.
Yeah.
You know, the rest of it I put in my little shoebox. I was shoebox hustling way back then. Yeah, that's how you do it, man. But it taught me a lot, and I'm thankful for the lessons. And I see so many young men nowadays without their guidance in their life. You know, without growing up without their guidance, they're being, now don't get me wrong, women, y'all are doing, you know, as best job as you can. But it takes a man to teach a young man how to be a man. He has to see it happen. He has to see a mother and a father in a household working together and making ends meet, as they say. You know, you can tell a child anything you want to tell them, but let me tell you something about kids. Kids go by what they see, not what they hear.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? They can hear, you can say, yeah, you need to get up and go do it. But if you laying over there smoking cigarettes all day and you got a different man in and out the house all the time, he ain't picking up the right attributes. He ain't picking up the hustle and the, you know. Now, don't get me wrong. Some kids learn it out of necessity because they have to. No, they want something out of themselves.
Sometimes
you know, sometimes it
realize that's not
that's not what you want. I always tell people, I learned not to be a crackhead from a crackhead.
Yeah.
You know, I learned that I didn't want to be a crackhead. I saw the life they were living. So that taught me never try crack because I knew I wasn't no stronger than them. So all it takes is that one hit. Sometimes, and I ain't want to be that one hit cat, and they be like, hey man, you seen them JD, man? Yeah, I don't need them stories right there in my life. Yeah, so I understand, but sometimes it can work in reverse, but so often it doesn't.
Yeah,
is what I'm saying. So we have to put forth good work ethic and whatnot in our kids when they're being raised and reared. They say raise a child in the ways that you want them to go, and they won't depart from it. You know, so you got to instill that in the kid early and make it a habit of theirs. Because I had a job, Reggie. You know, sometimes we go to work at 6:30 in the morning. We might not get off to 2 o'clock the next morning, and then be right back at work for 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Do you know what kind of work ethic it take to get up and do that 6-7 days a week?
Well, you got to want to do it.
First. You gotta have a bunch of want to in. See, and I tell people it's better to function out of a want to than a got to.
Yeah.
See, a got to is a terrible situation to be in. I'm telling you, I've been in a got to situation before. And I ain't like it. Because that's when your business
can go wrong.
Will go wrong. And that's when your business is handling you instead of you handling your business. But see, when you function out of want to, you handle your business.
Because
if something come up, you got something extra for it. Because you've been putting up. You know, it's just like the old, remember the story back in the day, was it the grasshopper and the ant?
Grasshopper and the ant.
And
I still use that analogy right now.
You remember that story, the grasshopper and the ant?
Yeah.
Yeah, the grasshopper and the ant. You want to be the, you know, you want to be the ant.
You want to be the ant.
Yeah, it's that stored up everything. And when winter came, the grasshopper didn't have nothing. And had all the food stored up. Wait,
grasshopper knocking on that door.
Yeah.
You know, ask, hey, man, can I come in?
No.
But the ant didn't work hard all summer.
All summer. Stacking up, storing up.
Yeah.
Hey, you got
to get on. They tell you these stories as kids, and if you catch on to it, they're trying to teach you a lesson.
Exactly.
Like that.
You can't see it.
Right then, but as you get older, you start to realize, hey man, they were trying to teach me something like that.
And you know what? I remember an old book that I used to be one of my favorite books, Aesop's Fables. Mm-hmm. Remember that book we used to read in elementary school? And all the fables about the dog with the bone in his mouth.
Yeah.
And he seen his reflection. He was so greedy that he tried to get the bone that was in the other dog's mouth. And when he opened his mouth to get the bone, he just fell in the water.
Yeah.
That was a fable teaching you not to be greedy. Learn to be content with what you have rather than trying to get something else that you see somebody else with. Just be content with what you got because being greedy, you can lose everything.
Yeah.
And that's all that story was trying to tell you as a kid.
I raised my kids now on fables. My favorite one I use is The Boy Called Wolf.
Because I want to instill them,
hey man, tell the truth. Because when you need somebody to listen to you and believe you, they're not going to believe you.
Exactly.
Because all the stuff you say.
And you may be telling the truth.
You may be telling the truth. I tell my daughter that all kinds. You don't tell the truth this time, but you said you tell the truth last time. You always tell the truth this time.
This time.
Yeah. And the fact that you have to say this time is a problem.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why they have all these fables and stories, you know, for the kids, let them know that this is life. It's not just to entertain
you. And let me explain something to you. Even as a grown man, they have a set of books that you can read in the Bible called Proverbs.
Yeah.
If you ever want to get some good sense as a man, let me tell you something, baby. Read Proverbs. All of the fables are right there in Proverbs. The life lessons, all of the the analogies that are made to help you lead a better and a more fruitful life are right there in the book of Proverbs.
Yeah.
If you read that all the way through, I guarantee you, you're going to gain some wisdom. Because let me tell you something. Like I said, Aesop's Fables was my favorite book as a kid, but my favorite books in growing up and being a grown man is Proverbs. I read Proverbs all the time because it gives you little clues as to how to govern your life and how to live life better and more prosperous. And so many of us need that word and that help. You know, I tell people, I don't like to be around people who think they know everything.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you something. I learn something every day. I try
every
to.
Day.
Every day. I ain't concerned about who I learn it from. I can learn it from an 8-year-old or an 80-year-old. It don't matter to me. But if it's something that I don't know and they got it, I want it. Give it up. Let me get it. Let me hold it. Let me be in my life and let me use it. You know, but we got to get away from the know-it-all attitudes, the can't nobody tell me nothing. You know, I'm a grown man.
They hating on you.
Yeah, all that. Let me tell you something, man.
That's the favorite topic. That's, hey, they hating on you when they tell you something.
Right. I tell people all the time, I talk to my wife about this, that as a man, you never want to be with your significant other or your wife and finding yourself saying, well, I'm a grown man. Because many times when you have to say that to your wife or your significant other, you're doing something childish at that very damn moment. So don't say it, brother. If you find yourself wanting to say it, reevaluate it, stop right where you are, and think about what you have done, because you have done something childish, I guarantee you. But that's JD's Man Cave for the week. And I want to thank my guest, Big Red Joe, again for joining me, man. We have some wonderful conversation.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure people are getting something out of it. If you have any concerns or questions that you want us to talk about or dwell on here at JD's Man Cave, feel free to hit me during the week on my Instagram page, JD James Daniels, or hit me on Facebook in JD's Man Cave, or on my own personal Facebook page, James Daniels. Just hit me up. Or you can call me at 832-273-6504. And we'll chop it up and we'll get you. I may even get you on the show. So, hey, look out for me. But like I said, man, we want to thank y'all for joining us. Go ahead and sign off, Big Retro.
All I like to say is, fellas, hey, don't be the grasshopper. Don't be the grasshopper. Be the ant.
Be the ant, dude.
And you'll be all right.
And you'll be all right. But, yeah, again, like I said, this is another Saturday night here in Houston, Texas. And we want to thank y'all for joining us here on JD's Man Cave. And we will see y'all next week, baby.
Hey, this is JD of JD's Man Cave. Coming at you again tonight on a big old Saturday night. We want to thank y'all for tuning in. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride.